What, if anything, does your theory tell us about either resistance against capitalism today or the creation of the humane post-capitalist society that you were just talking about?
Well, as I noted earlier, unlike Marx, our theory is inherently partial. It deals only with those who rule society, and it is able to say very little, if anything, and it really doesn't try too hard to say much about those who resist that rule. In other words, our theory does not offer a complete articulation of society. However, in order to change society, particularly a society that is as complex as capitalism, I mean, we have never had anything similar in complexity throughout human history. I think we must understand how it operates, however imperfect this understanding might be. This is not something we can compromise, because compromising it might end up as a disaster. I think this might be the weakest point of those who resist capitalism and wish to change it. In my opinion, many of these people, most of whom are young, active, and have all the proper intentions, most of these people do not have a proper understanding of what they want to change. And I see this difficulty every year when I begin my graduate seminars. I start my seminars with a set of questions. And what I say to the students is, let's play a game. Suppose that I am a progressive prime minister of Canada, and suppose that you are my progressive finance minister. And I ask you to give me an assessment of the economic and financial situation of the country. What would you tell me? Now, usually the students remain quiet. And gradually, some of them start hesitantly to answer. But it's quite obvious from the beginning that the knowledge of the subject is very limited. Most of them are very critical students, which is one reason why they gravitated to York University. But they're not sure exactly of what they're critical. And even those who know more than others about the subject start talking about concepts such as growth, unemployment, inflation, etc. And when I stop them and I ask them to clarify what those concepts mean, very quickly they get stuck. And the situation is certainly not much better with people who come from economics, even people who have graduate degrees in economics. For instance, some of them would say, I asked them what growth is, and they would say it's the growth of real GDP, and I asked them how real GDP is measured, and they get stuck. And it's no wonder they get stuck, because real GDP is ultimately supposed to be measured in utils, and nobody knows what utils are. The point is that these students, as well as their professors, often do not know that the basis of real GDP is utils, because had they known that, they would have abandoned economics in the first place. So these are fundamental problems. The understanding of the capitalist system that these young students bring with them is at best mechanical. But in order to change society, we need more than a change of institutions and organizations. We need a different mode of thinking. And that different mode of thinking requires that you understand the depth of the mode of thinking of capitalism. And I think that there's no way to change capitalism effectively without understanding these fundamental concepts, because the alternative is to reproduce them, whether you want to reproduce them or not. So to make a long story short, my recommendation to the activist is extremely simple. I would recommend that activists mobilize resources and try to establish, say, for the beginning, 10 independent research institutes around the world. These institutes, they do not need to be academic institutes. In fact, they should not be academic institutes, because quickly they will be taken over professional economists. These institutes have to investigate how capitalism operates. They have to offer practical alternatives, and they need to educate and train those people who can implement alternatives. Without this organizational structures, without this research apparatus, I think activists will remain forever hostage. They will remain hostage to existing economic theory. They will remain hostage to existing capitalist accounting methods. And they will remain hostage to existing capitalist data. And therefore, they will remain hostage to capitalism. And as happened many times before, as I tried to indicate at the beginning of the interview, this dependency will prevent them from ever moving away from the system, because even if they succeed in establishing something else, they end up reproducing the fundamental premise of the system they want to reproduce. So the first step towards an alternative society is always to understand as much as you can the society that you challenge. And we have to take to heart the fact that despite the massive opposition to capitalism, all that opposition hasn't succeeded in bringing capitalism down or transforming it to something else. And perhaps it has to do, perhaps, with the fact that we have misunderstood some fundamental aspects of that system. And that becomes quite essential that we understand it properly in order to proceed.